All right. Good evening and welcome to our service this evening, our closing clubs program. Tonight we're going to get started by singing a song together. And that is in the church hymnal, the Black Book. And you can turn to song number 572. Number 572. Let's everybody stand. Number 572.
Come, ye thankful people, come, raise the song of harvest home. All the safely gathered in, ere the winter storms be. God our Maker doth provide for our wants to be supplied. Come to God's own temple, come, raise a song of harvest home. All the world is God's own field. Unto his praise to yield, wheat and tares together sown, unto joy or sorrow grown. First the blade and then the ear, then the full corn shall appear. Lord of grant that we wholesome grain and pure may be. For the Lord our God shall come and shall take his harvest home. From his field shall in that day all offenses purge away. Give his angels charge at last, for the thorns the tares to cast, but the fruitful ears to store in his garner evermore. Even so, Lord, quickly come to thy final harvest home. Hither thou thy people in, from sorrow, free from sin. There forever purified in thy presence to abide. Come with all thine angels, come, preserved o'er this harvest home.
All right, you can all be seated. And let's have a word of prayer. Lord God, thank you for this evening, and thank you for the opportunity to give this program and be near to all the children as they give the parts that they've practiced. And I pray that your message would come through clearly. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come bless the Lord.
Lift up your hands.
We want to welcome each and every one of you here tonight. We invite you to come and bless the Lord as we just sang. We thank you, first of all, for allowing your children to come here. They're full of energy, and we've had a lot of good times, I think. This year, we studied the book of Mark. The story of Jesus is told in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we did Mark this year. And Mark is a fast-paced gospel and tells the story of Jesus while he was on the earth. And so what we're going to share with you tonight is some of the stories that Jesus experienced and some of the things he did. But in Mark, it comes out really clear that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to save us from our sins. He also came to minister to people and not to be ministered to. He came as a servant. He came to call people to be his followers, his disciples. And so some of the songs you're going to hear tonight have that message. So we, again, we welcome you and thank you for coming.
Simon Peter, Andrew, James, his brother John, Philip, Thomas, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon, Judas, and Bartholomew. Jesus called us to, Jesus called us to. We are his disciples, I am one of you. He has called us to. He has called us to. We are his disciples, Christ his purple shoes. Still today he's calling, seeking some to help him, some to tell the story of his love so true, some to seek the lost ones, and to help them follow. If you're his disciples, he has work for you. He has called us to. He has called us to. We are his disciples. I am one of you. He has called us to. He has called us to. We are his disciples. We his work must do.
I will make you fishers of men, fishers of men, fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men if you follow me. If you follow me, if you follow me. I will make you fishers of men if you follow me.
My Lord knows the way to the wilderness.
My Lord knows the way.
Through the wilderness,
all I have to do is
up is Colton Hensel will have a dramatic reading about the man who was paralyzed. And this is his bed. And his little hat.
I cannot walk, I cannot work, I can't earn money. I'm a burden on my family and on my friends, but I have four friends who knew about Jesus, and so they packed me up on this bed. When we arrived at the house where Jesus was teaching God's message, the house was packed with people listening to him. We had no chance to get in the door, and we had no chance to get in the window. We could not get in anywhere near him. So how do you get in if the door is plugged and the windows are full? You go down through the window, of course. My friends were intent on getting me to Jesus, and it was scary to be let down through the roof in front of all those people. But down I went without a bump. Jesus saw my friends and my faith. We needed to get to Jesus, even if we had to go down through the roof. Jesus said to me, "My son, your sins are forgiven." Now the Pharisees were there and asked, "Who could forgive sins but God?" They refused to consider Jesus as God. So Jesus asked them, "What was easier, is to tell him his sins are forgiven or to tell him to take his bed and walk?" Then Jesus told them, "So you know that I, Jesus, have an authority to forgive sins on earth." He looked right at me and said, "Pick up your mat and walk right on home." And guess what? I, who could not walk, could not work, and was on a burden on my family and my friends, picked up my bed and walked out in front of all those people.
Okay, next up is Katrina's class. She had the preschoolers, and so they're up next. Whoops.
That Jesus was a little he climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he went to see. And as the Savior passed away, he looked up in the tree. And he said, "Zacchaeus, you come down. For I'm going to your house today. For I'm going to your house today."
Next up is a story that happened to Jesus. It's called A Desperate Dad and a Worried Woman. And Jesus conquers disease and despair. So if you bear with us a little bit, we have a couple people missing tonight. So we're going to fill in here. But Aiden's going to be the narrator.
Aiden. Catherine's going to be the woman. And Colton, he's going to be Jesus. And we need some disciples. So
This is already.
You guys be the disciples? Oh, you are Jesus. Okay. All right. We need. Was somebody curious? Henry was there. So what was the disciple with John? All right. Okay, whoever reads, whoever has the mic around, see. Narrator goes first.
Sure. Okay. Jesus, an official of the local synagogue, had a big, big problem. His daughter was very, very sick, but he heard about Jesus. He heard that Jesus had healed some sick people, had cast out some demons, and so off to Jesus he went. When he saw Jesus, he threw himself down at his feet and begged him earnestly.
My little daughter is very, very sick. Please come and place your hands on her so that she will get well and live.
So Jesus agreed to help Jairus, but so many people were getting along with Jesus that they were crowding him from every side. Among the crowd, there was a woman who had suffered terribly from severe bleeding in 12 years. Even though she had been treated by many doctors, she had spent all her money, but instead of getting better, she got worse all the time. She had heard about Jesus, so she came in the crowd behind him, saying to herself,
"If I just touch his clothes, I will get better."
She touched his cloak, and her bleeding stopped at once. At once, Jesus knew the power had gone out of him, so he turned and asked,
"Who touched my clothes?"
You see how the people are crowding you. Why do you ask who touched you?
But Jesus kept looking around. The woman came trembling to Jesus with fear and knelt at his feet and told him about her problem and how he had healed her.
"My daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your trouble."
When Jesus finished speaking, messengers came with sad news. "Your daughter had died. Why bother the teacher any longer?"
"Do not be afraid, only believe. Peter, James, and John, come along."
Arriving at the house, another crowd had gathered, weeping and crying from the dead little girl.
Why all this confusion? Why are you crying? The child is not dead. She is only sleeping.
The crowd made fun of him, but Jesus took Peter, James, and John, and the parents, and went to where the child lay.
"Little girl, I tell you, get up."
She got up at once. What can we learn from this story?
We can come to Jesus when we are desperate, and sometimes there are interruptions, but it is best to trust his timing.
Jesus knows when we deliberately touch him. The crowds were crowding him, but I touched him in faith.
Jesus brings hope when all is hopeless, even when your little girl is dead.
Sometimes Jesus only allows a few to witness his working miracles.
Call upon the Lord. Waits first.
Unto thee, O Lord, unto thee, O Lord. me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me.
Remember not.
Remember not.
The sins of my youth.
Next up, we have a story that Jesus told, and it's called a parable, and this is a parable of the soils. So first of all, we have Ephraim. We need Ephraim. Okay.
You mean CJ? It's Jesus. Stand here in the middle. And we have Hope. Hope. A good soil. And we have Lydia. It's a rocky soil. We have Faith. Faith is a thorny soil. We have Marcus. This soil, they have two soils on each side of Jesus, and we're ready to go.
Close to your mouth.
Listen, once there was a man who went out to sow grain. As he scattered the seed in the field, some fell among the hard path soil.
My soil is hard packed. And when the seed comes, the seed cannot sprout. And when the birds come, they devour it.
Some fell on rocky soil.
My soil is very shallow. The seeds sprout but cannot take root. The sun scorches the new plants because it has no root.
Some fell on thorny soil.
My soul is good because the seed sprouts and grows, but so do thorns and thistles and weeds. They choke out the grain.
Some fell on good soil.
My soil is good. The seed sprouts and grows to bear a harvest, some 30 times, some 60 times, and some even 100 times.
He who has ears to hear, let him hear.
And all the disciples said, "What does the parable mean?"
Okay.
What does the... The sword says God's words, the Bible, God's messages for people.
Some people are like the hard packed soul. The message comes, but Satan snatches it up. Some people are like rocket soul. They hear even with joy, but it does not root down. And when trouble comes, they give up.
Some people are like the thorny soul. They hear the message, but other things choke at the message. Things like worries of this life, love of money, and other desires.
Some people are like the good soil. They hear the message, receive it, grow it, and produce a harvest, some 30 times, some 60 times, and some 100 times.
Thank you, Ephraim. Next up is a dramatic reading, mostly memorized, if not all, by Lena Truby.
Mark chapter 8, verse 27 through Mark chapter 9, verse 1. And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told him, "John the Baptist." And others say, "Elijah," and others, "one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." And he strictly charged him to tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." And he said to them, "Truly, I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God after it has come with power." Mark chapter 9, verse 30 through 32. They went on from there and passed through Galilee, and he did not want anyone to know, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days he will rise." But they did not understand the saying, and were afraid to ask him. Mark chapter 10, verse 32 through 34. And they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. And they were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. And taking the 12 again, he began to tell them what was to happen to him, saying, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise."
Thank you, Lena. We have one more skit to do, and it's a parable. And everybody that's in this parable, go back with Philip, okay? Josiah, take that. Yeah. In the Bible, this parable is called the parable of the wicked farmer.
Meet Farmer Frank. Farmer Frank had a dream to raise a beautiful vineyard which produced lots of beautiful grapes. So Farmer Frank bought the best piece of land in the country and the best selection of grapevines he could find. He planted the vines just right, fertilized them with just the right amount of fertilizer, and watered them diligently when it didn't rain enough. He even built a 10-foot steel and concrete fence around the vineyard so that robbers and wild animals couldn't steal his grapes. But Farmer Frank was a busy man with lots of farms all over the country, and so he needed to hire some renters to take care of his beloved vineyard.
Who would be interested in renting a beautiful vineyard that is sure to produce beautiful, lush grapes?
A group of three well-dressed folks responded to Farmer Frank's advertisement. Their names are Hypocrite Harry, Ergon Angie, and Lying Larry. Do you think these people sound trustworthy?
Farmer Frank, you truly do have a beautiful vineyard. We want it to thrive so you can get all the profit you deserve from the hard work that you put into it.
We are the best farmers around. We will make your vineyard produce more grapes than any vineyard has.
We will never pay our rent late. We will always pay right on time.
Well, well, you make yourself sound good, but we shall see if you really are as good as you say you are. I agreed to rent the vineyard to you, but at harvest time, you will send me one half of the grapes as payment of your rent.
Agreed, you will never regret it.
So Farmer Frank had himself a group of renters. He went to another farm of his far away. Summer passed and harvest time came and went, but Farmer Frank did not receive a single grape, not even a skin or a grape seed from his beautiful vineyard. He sent a letter asking for a report on the grape harvest and asking for payment of the rent, but no answer came. He sent a second letter and a third with still no reply. See, he called one of his most faithful servants, Faithful Fran.
Faithful Fran, something must be wrong at the vineyard. We are several months past the grape harvest, and I have not seen one single grape yet. I didn't have a good feeling about the Hypocrite Harry, Ergon Angie, and Lying Larry, but I decided to give them a chance anyway. Now I am regretting it. I want you to travel to my vineyard and ask for the rent.
As you wish, sir.
So Faithful Fran packed her bags and made the long journey to the vineyard.
Hypocrite Harry, Ergon Angie, and Lying Larry, I am Faithful Fran, Farmer Frank's faithful servant. Your rent is due. I am here to collect your payment. Where are my master's grapes?
We will give you the payment that you deserve. Get her voice.
And with that, Hypocrite Harry, Lying Larry, and Ergon Angie attacked Faithful Fran. They beat her up and sent her back to Farmer Frank without any rent money.
Faithful Fran, what happened to you? Are you okay? Did someone steal the rent on your way home?
I didn't have any rent for anyone to steal from me. Your renters didn't give me any rent. Instead, they beat me up.
What? Those wicked, no good men. I will send another servant, Trusty Tom. He is kind. No one will have the heart to hurt him.
And so, Trusty Tom made the journey to the vineyard.
Hypocrite Harry, Ergon Angie, and Lying Larry, my master is very kind and patient. If you will send your rent home with me, he will forgive you. Trade payment in the mean way you treated Faithful Fran. He will even allow you to continue renting the vineyard if you agree to pay the rent properly next time.
The harvest was very poor because your master did not plan the vineyard right. All we will have to give you is rocks. Get him, boys.
And so those nasty renters threw stones at kind old Trusty Tom. They threw lots of stones at his head. He was barely able to travel back to Farmer Frank.
Not you too, Trusty Tom. How could anyone hurt someone as nice as you? I will send Buster Brown to the evil renters. He is my biggest, strongest servant. Surely they will listen to him.
So Buster Brown made the journey to the vineyard.
Hypocrite Harry, Ergon Angie, and Lying Larry, it is high time you paid your rent. We have played games long enough. You have stretched my master's patience very thin.
You are right, Buster Brown. We will give you we have been bad renters. We will give you the payment that you deserve. Come right on over here.
But instead of getting that rent money, Ergon Angie, Lying Larry, snuck up behind Buster Brown and hit him on the head so hard that he died. Time went by. Farmer Frank wondered sadly what became of Buster Brown. He sent several more messengers to Hypocrite Harry, Arrogant Angie, and Lying Larry. They proudly told the messengers that what they had done to Buster Brown, beat up the new messengers, and sent them home empty-handed.
What should I do with those wicked renters? I will send my son to them. They will have to listen to him.
So, Farmer Frank sent his one and only son, Farmer Frank Jr., to the vineyard to collect the rent.
Hypocrite Harry, Arrogant Andy, and Lying Larry, I've come to pay the rent. My father has been more than patient with you. Please, he just wants what is truly his.
The three huddled together to discuss the situation.
He's the son. Don't we have to obey him?
No, the son inherits the vineyard with the tax. When the dad dies. But what if the son dies before the dad? Let's kill him, and then the vineyard will all be ours.
What a good idea, Arrogant Angie. Let's lure him outside the vineyard and kill him, then it will all be ours.
And so that is exactly what they did. They lured Farmer Frank Jr. outside the vineyard and killed him. So what do you think Farmer Frank will do? He will send an army to those wicked renters, destroy them, and rent his vineyard out to someone who is more worthy. Jesus told a very similar story in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12. The farmer represents God who wants to save us all from our sins and enable us to bear fruit for him. The Bible tells us of many messengers called prophets that God sent to warn his people. Some of these prophets were beaten and mistreated while others were killed. Finally, God sent his one and only son, Jesus. But the people that lived with Jesus here on earth didn't like the message he brought. Finally, to silence him, they arrested him, put him through a mockery of a trial, beat him raw, nailed him to a cross, and hung him for all who passed by to see. Finally, he died. Thankfully, he rose from the dead, shattering the power of death. But now we have the same choice that people in Jesus' day had. The same message of salvation is available to us. Will we, like the wicked renters and people in Jesus' day, reject that message?
Theme verse of Mark. Can we say it all together? If anyone has become a man of the day, take up his cross and not be afraid. For the Lord has saved his life. I'm saved if I am dead. For a while, I'm dead. From the rising sun,
the name of the Lord is to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Praised be the Lord. Praised be
and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Alleluia, alleluia.
We're going to have a closing song, the congregation, before I dismiss them. But it'll be Joy to the World. Phil, if you want to lead that. Joy to the World. I think it'll be best if we just sing it without the books.
Joy to the World.
I think the children did very, very well tonight. I really do. And I'd like to introduce to you our staff. And I'm going to dismiss them. They'll go down and get ready for refreshments. And then I'll introduce each family. And so they'll be going down ahead of you. But please go down the basement. And you'll be treated to cookies that your children made with lots of sugary frosting on top. First of all, we have Grace. Where's Grace at? Is she down the basement? Is she what? She's down the basement. Grace, she's our snack lady, 80-some years old. She's still doing the snack. Yeah? Yay for Grace. Yeah. She's down the basement already. And we have Philip. Philip's been our Bible teacher, and as I introduce you, you can go on down the basement. Philip has been our Bible teacher. Melita was the Bible application reinforcement, making good practical applications to the Bible lessons. We have Martina. Is Martina here? Yes, Martina was a helper all around. She tied up all the loose ends and was very appreciative of her help. We have Becca Harnish. Becca had the crafts. And somewhere along the line, Becca got a helper named Josiah. And come March 25th, they're going to walk the aisle together. So we'll just let them practice a little bit. We're here together, Becca. This isn't official, but it's practice. Then we have brothers Jonathan and Nathan. They were the brains behind the Pinewood Derby cars and other things, and they helped. I don't know if it's crowd control, behavior control, but we appreciated them very much. And who do we got left here? We got Katrina. Katrina had the little class, and somewhere along the line, she got a helper too. Well, they're not ready to walk the aisle, but they are dating, so we'll let them go down together. Katrina and Mark. Mark was our games guy, but he did sort of help Katrina quite a bit. He found himself in their room.